This is Ozarks at Large. Next Tuesday, runoff elections will be held in Arkansas for races where no candidate got 50% of the vote. The only statewide race is for the Republican nomination for Attorney General. Leslie Rutledge and David Sterling, the two candidates in that race, recently spoke with Jacob Kaufman from our content partner KUAR in Little Rock. During their conversation, Sterling commented on a key issue, carrying out the state's death penalty.
I have offered a solution to the lethal injection statute that we have here in the state of Arkansas, moving from what we've traditionally used, which is sodium thiopental, which is the European manufacturers dried up export of that drug to the U.S. because it's used in capital punishment. Some states like Ohio and Texas, Oklahoma and Tennessee have moved to using, contracting with local compounding pharmacies. Anti-death penalty advocates have used the FOI laws to find the identities of those manufacturers and have started protesting outside those facilities trying to shut them down. So what I've said is to change our drug cocktail to using pentobarbital, number one, and then excluding the identity of the domestic manufacturers from the FOI law. That way it would, I guess, give us a ready supply of it without the manufacturers being threatened to shut down. Currently, Arkansas law requires us to use the electric chair. When our legislature enacted lethal injection as our preferred method of execution in the early 80s, in their wisdom, they said if this lethal injection statute is ever declared unconstitutional, we shall use electrocution. And so what I've said is that as Attorney General, I'm not going to be an Eric Holder picking and choosing which laws I'm going to enforce and which ones I'm going to ignore, like Ms. Rutledge has taken a stance on this position. But current Arkansas law says that we shall be using the electrocution. And all I've said is as Attorney General, I'll enforce the law as it's on the books, as our legislature has preferred.
And why don't you think the public has a right to know the types of drugs manufactured, or at least the place where they're being made?
Well, I think that it's a matter of having ready access to the drugs in order to take care of trying to get this death penalty statute back on track. You know, Dustin McDaniel said last summer that our death penalty system is broken. And the reason it's broken is because anti-death penalty advocates have sought to use the legal system to make executions as expensive as possible. And they put the AG's offices in all 50 states, or any state that has the death penalty in place, put them through all kinds of legal hurdles and try to drive up the expense of execution. And so to the extent that they're abusing the FOI laws in order to try to subvert the rule of law, which is execution, we've got 33 people on death row right now. We've got 33 families that are suffering. You know, we got 33 innocent victims that were brutally murdered, and now we've got 33 people waiting on death row while lawyers and politicians struggle with trying to figure out which drug is best to use to humanely execute these people. One guy that's on death row is on death row because he raped and murdered a five-year-old girl and stuffed her dead carcass into a hollowed-out tree. And here we are trying to figure out if we should, Ms. Rutledge wants to work with the FDA apparently and try to figure out how to get her hands on some drugs. I've already offered a way to actually get the drugs necessary to execute criminals like this.
Are you arguing then that if the public knows something and it causes them to protest, and the result of their protest is that a program is stopped, that's justification for exempting FOI laws?
No, I'm saying that there are some limited circumstances where the FOI laws don't apply. I mean, there are exemptions as far as the governor's working papers. There's exemptions as far as many, many exemptions to the FOI laws. And all I'm talking about here is trying to get our death penalty statute back up and running, trying to get these 33 families, give them some closure as we try to honor the victims of these heinous crimes, and stop looking out necessarily for the people that have already been tried, have been found by unanimous verdict that they were guilty of these crimes. They were sentenced separately to death under our capital punishment statute, and I think we need to get that up and moving again.
Mrs. Rutledge?
First and foremost, I am in support of the death penalty, just so we're clear, but I support a responsible and reasonable approach to it. The suggestion that we can use the electric chair, which is currently in the Old State House Museum, it's in the archives, we can't just pull old Sparky out, plug it in, and start using it. It would take literally years of litigation in order to do so. And so that is irresponsible rhetoric. And quite frankly, I feel that because of Mr. Sterling's lack of experience and absolute no experience in criminal law is why he's preying on the, you know, emotions of the families of these victims that have suffered through enough in order to get votes in this election. If you don't understand criminal law and have no experience in criminal law, then you would suggest something such as this. That is just reckless and irresponsible. So that's why my proposal has been to work to obtain the drugs necessary so that way we can see these executions out. It's not to, you know, prey on people's emotions and these families that have been through so much. I'm not interested in doing that. I'm interested in seeing the law out. And also, it's a governor's decision. It's not an attorney general's decision as to whether or not we have an execution or whether or not the means that by which we carry out that execution. It's not going to be the attorney general's decision. And again, I think that goes to a lack of understanding of the role of the attorney general, that Mr. Sterling has above and beyond gone out of his way to bring up issues such as the electric chair, because it's just not a decision the attorney general is going to make. And it's preying on the emotions of families that have gone through enough already.
Medical marijuana. Both of you have been outspoken about what you perceive as the overreach of the federal government, but this issue sees the most action at the state level, nationwide. If Arkansas voters decide to legalize marijuana in November, what would your response be? Mrs. Rutledge, I know Colorado's attorney general contributed to your campaign. What would you do?
Well, first of all, I am against legalization of marijuana, and that's based on my experience as a prosecutor. I do believe that it is a gateway a drug, and I've seen how lives are affected, and not just as a prosecutor, but also working in the Department of Human Services and going to court with foster kids. We have a lot of children who not only have their families failed them, but the state is failing them. And if the medical marijuana passes, I will enforce and defend the law of the state just as, you know, any law, but and not put my own personal preferences. I'm not going to be like Eric Holder and pick and choose which laws to enforce and not. And I think that's where my opponent and I differ, is because he refuses to take a stand against marijuana. And I think that conservatives have, you know, strongly stated that, you know, they are not in support of this.
Well, thankfully, we have your opponent, Mr. Sterling, right here.
Yeah, well, that's actually a misstatement of my position on medical marijuana. My position on it is I am also opposed to it personally. But as attorney general, it's not going to be my job to pick and choose which laws to defend and which laws to ignore. Ms. Rutledge has taken that position on the death penalty and the use of the electric chair. She refuses to take a stand on the electric chair. She's opposed to it. And so she is being like Eric Holder and picking and choosing which laws to enforce and which ones to ignore. My own personal preference is if this is on the ballot in November, personally, I will be voting against medical marijuana. However, if voters do pass that law, I will enforce that law. I will defend that law. And if voters reject it, then I will defend and current Arkansas law, drug laws, and prosecute criminals based on that, to the extent that the AG's office is involved in that.
In that particular issue, you do think that state law supersedes federal laws?
Well, I think they complement each other. I mean, state law and federal law, there are state laws on the issue and there are federal laws on the issue. And to the extent that state law changes on it, I will defend state law. If our voters in November decide that they want to legalize the use of medical marijuana, then I will defend that, even against federal laws that that prohibit it.
Leslie?
And just to be clear on the record, that the Family Council survey, my opponent, you know, refused to answer and said that he didn't have an opinion on. So he has gone on record with having no opinion. He stated publicly on his Facebook page a number of times that he has no opinion on legalizing marijuana. And, you know, when we talk about ethical standards and what we would do as attorney general, just last week in the Arkansas News, and you were there for the news conference, and my opponent outright lied about my experience and said that I only had 2 years of law practice experience.
Right, but if we could just limit it to the subject of medical marijuana, if the state law passed, you would respect the voters?
Absolutely.
That was Leslie Rutledge and David Sterling speaking to Jacob Kaufman from our content partner KUAR in Little Rock. The two candidates are seeking the Republican nomination for attorney general in the runoff election next Tuesday. You can hear more from the candidates on issues about experience, the Environmental Protection Agency, same-sex marriage, and the sources of campaign funds by watching the full interview on our website, OzarksAtLarge.com. The winner will face Democrat Nate Steele and Libertarian Aaron Cash.